Well, you're listening to Born on This Day podcast, and today is February 21st. I want to wish you all a happy National Sticky Bun Day. I'm Marco Timpano.
And I'm your sticky bun, Bill Antoniou.
Bill, how are your sticky buns?
Oh, Marco, that's an improper question. There's a lot of baked goods in our national days this month. It must there's be a February thing.
I guess. Well, Bill, known as Schnecken, meaning snail, the sticky bun is rolled into a sweet spiral resembling the German name. Still considered to be a Pennsylvania specialty, many believe the sticky bun's origin in the United States began in the 19th century. German settlers brought their baking traditions with them when they began settling in and around Philadelphia.
They make your hands messy, and I don't like it.
Oh, see, I love a sticky bun.
I don't like foods that make my hands sticky.
Oh, really? No, give me a sticky bun, a cross bun, you know, anything sticky, and I'm happy.
All right.
Well, listen, Bill, if you were born on February 21st, you are known for your intuitive, selfless, and imaginative nature. Throughout your life, you have noticed the ability to understand the emotions and thoughts of others. Your innate ability to sense when others are troubled allows you to be compassionate and supportive.
Celebrating a birthday today, born in Halifax and beginning his career on the Canadian shows Pit Pony and Trailer Park Boys, Elliot Page raised his profile in the films Will Be Wonderful and Hard Candy before a breakthrough star-making performance as the title character of the 2007 film Juno. Still known at the time as Ellen Page, he was nominated for an Oscar for Best Actress and went on to star in the films Whip It, Smart People, Inception, To Roam With Love, Freeheld, and the remake of Flatliners. In 2019, he was on the shows Tales of the City and The Umbrella Academy. He came out as a trans man in 2020. He was born on this day in Halifax in 1987.
Jennifer Love Hewitt was on the show Kids Incorporated in the early 90s before scoring her breakthrough on the hit series Party of Five in 1995. Did you watch Party of Five, Bill?
Not ever, actually.
Okay. Well, she starred on that show for 5 seasons and landed movie roles in I Know What You Did Last Summer and its sequel, Can't Hardly Wait and The Suburbans. She had another hit series with The Ghost Whisperer in 2005 and was nominated for a Golden Globe and a TV movie, The Client List, she was in, which became a series for 2 seasons. The Client List. Why do I vaguely remember that?
Yeah. It would be easier if you just read what was on the page, Marco. You know,
why is it
just
not?
In case things get a bit messy for you.
Okay. Well, anyways.
She was nominated for a Golden Globe in the TV movie The Client List, which then became a series for 2 seasons.
Right. Right. And I'm just trying to think of the series. I feel like I watched it. Anyways, she's currently on the show 911 and was born on this day in Waco, Texas in 1979.
Sophie Turner shot to fame with her debut performance as Sansa Stark on the hit HBO series Game of Thrones. She began working in theater when she was 3 years old, and during the show's run from 2011 to 2019, she appeared in the films Josie, Time Freak, Dark Phoenix, and Heavy. In 2019, she was nominated for an Emmy for the final season of Game of Thrones, and in 2020, she starred on the Quibi series Survive. She was born on this day in Northampton, England in 1996.
Mélanie Laurent became a famous star in French cinema in the early 2000s, though international audiences didn't get to know her well until she appeared in her most famous role as Shoshana in Quentin Tarantino's 2009 film Inglourious Basterds. She made her starring debut in the 1999 film The Bridge, then appeared in The Beat That My Heart Skipped by Jacques Audiard, the Oscar-nominated Days of Glory, and co-starred with Isabelle Huppert in Hidden Love. Later, she appeared in Mike Mills' 2011 Oscar-winning film Beginners with Ewan McGregor and Christopher Plummer, and the hit mystery Now You See Me. In 2011, she made her directorial debut with The Adopted and followed it with Breathe, Diving, and Galveston. She was born on this day in Paris in 1983.
There's no bees in Huppert, Marco. It's Huppert.
Okay.
I see no bees at all.
Nothing gets you more angry than us. And you know what, Bill? We're trying to watch her films just to pay, you know, pay respect to her because you like her so much.
No, but like even the people who introduce her movies at TIFF come out on stage and they're like, thank you for joining us in this film starring the fabulous Isabel. One woman said Isabel Hubbard. And I was like, it's letters on a page. Like they didn't teach you to read in school ever? And you got this job? Good for you. Jesus H. Anyway, moving on.
Imagine how she feels, Bill.
No, oh, she doesn't care, please. Alan Rickman received a scholarship to RADA when he was 26, considered late for that school's usual student body, and he began his professional career upon graduation. Following his success on the Broadway stage with Les Liaisons Dangereuses, he became a beloved film actor with his performances as the villainous Hans Gruber in Die Hard and the Sheriff of Nottingham in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He earned critical plaudits for his performance in Anthony Minghella's Truly Madly Deeply and Ang Lee's Sense and Sensibility, then endeared himself to a new generation of fans with his taking on the role of Severus Snape in the Harry Potter films. Other roles include The January Man, Michael Collins, Love Actually, and Sweeney Todd. He made his directorial debut with The Winter Guest in 1997 and followed it with A Little Chaos in 2014, released 2 years before his death from pancreatic cancer at the age of 69. He was born on this day in London, England in 1946.
So, Bill, I made Amanda watch Die Hard for the first time this year.
Oh.
And as we're watching it, she's like, Hans Gruber, you know, I think that name is famous for somebody. And I'm like, it's famous for this role you're watching Alan Rickman do. She thought it was another person's name. She's like, I know that name. God, I know. I'm like, amazing. You know it because they reference this performance that we're watching.
That is so funny. Yeah. Wow. I haven't watched that movie in a while, actually. I should see it again.
Yeah, he's great. I'm so sad that he passed away, and I loved everything he did.
They're all great in it. Bonnie Bedelia is great in it, too.
It's true. It's true. Jordan Peele was on 6 years of Mad TV before he became known for the show he co-created with his comedy partner, Keegan-Michael Key, Key and Peele, which ran for 5 successful seasons and won 2 Emmy Awards. He appeared in Little Fockers, Wanderlust, and episodes of Fargo, and in 2016 co-wrote the comedy Keanu, in which he and Key starred. In 2007, he made his directorial debut with the thriller Get Out, which became one of the most talked about films of the year and earned him an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay. He followed it with the 2019 horror film Us. He currently performs the character of the ghost of Duke Ellington on Big Mouth and is married to comedian Chelsea Peretti. He was born on this day in New York City in 1979.
Kim Coates began his career with Neptune Theatre in Halifax, starring in West Side Story, Twelfth Night, and Romeo and Juliet in the mid-80s, before making his film debut in The Boy in Blue in 1986 and moving on to more prominent roles with Last Man Standing and The Last Boy Scout. He appeared in the films The Client, Bad Boys, Waterworld, and Battlefield Earth. More recently was on Sons of Anarchy, Bad Blood, and is currently on Van Helsing. He was born on this day in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan in 1958.
Kelsey Grammer is a Juilliard graduate who came to prominence with his recurring guest role as Dr. Frasier Crane on the hit sitcom Cheers. After its conclusion, Frasier went home to Seattle and starred in his own spinoff, which lasted 11 seasons and earned him 4 Emmy Awards and 2 Golden Globes. Bill, you know, at the time when Frasier was a spinoff, I thought to myself, this is never going to last. He's like the least interesting character that was on.
And I think it also went on longer than Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good, though.
It was so good. It was great from top to bottom. Anyways, his work on stage includes an impressive Shakespearean repertoire. More recently, he was in the disastrous stage musical adaptation of Finding Neverland. His short-lived series Boss won him another Golden Globe, and he won an Emmy for his voice work as Sideshow Bob on The Simpsons. Last year, he was in the cult favorite film Money Plane and is a producer of the show's Girlfriends, Partners, and Medium. He was born on this day in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands in 1955.
And you have to Google Kelsey Grammer falling off a stage.
Okay.
Because it's just one of the funniest things ever. I think he's giving a speech at one of the Disney theaters or something, and I guess he couldn't see very well. He falls off the front of the stage, but you just see him drop out of sight on camera, and you hear, God.
Okay, he's great, really, but good. He's great at comedy and drama, and he's one of those actors that great. I think everything he's in is better for having him in it.
Yeah, he's marvelous.
Yeah.
A Trump supporter, but he's marvelous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One of the stars of our favorite show, The Golden Girls, was born today, Marco. Yes. This is one of the four angels who watch us from above. The unforgettable Rue McClanahan portrayed Blanche Devereaux, the woman who loved the adventure of the company of men. Rue began appearing on Broadway in the 50s, toiling away at her craft and making the odd appearance in small roles in films before Norman Lear saw her on stage and selected her to play Vivian on the hit series Maude with future Golden Girls co-star Bea Arthur from 1972 to 1978. From there on, her television career was set, followed by her recurring guest spot on Mama's Family with future Golden Girls co-star Betty White. The Golden Girls lasted 7 seasons, during which she won an Emmy Award, and was followed by a season of The Golden Palace, the film version of Nonsense, and supporting roles in Starship Troopers, The Fighting Temptations, and Wit's End. She co-starred on the show Sordid Lives and made her final appearance on an episode of Meet the Browns in 2009, a year before her death from a brain hemorrhage at the age of 76. She was born on this day in Healdton, Oklahoma in 1934.
Eat dirt and die, trash. My favorite.
I'm devastated. I cannot even tell you how devastated I am. Let me guess, Blanche, are you by any chance devastated? One of my favorites was that towel she didn't want to let go of. I'm brought my baby home in this towel. You're lying, Blanche.
Lesbian.
Isn't that when we know what it means, Blanche. Not Lebanese, Blanche.
Oh my goodness.
To think Jean would prefer Rose over me. I mean, Only three shows in television history had the whole cast win Emmy Awards, and Golden Girls is one of them. All four of them won Emmy Awards for their work.
I keep rewatching A Visit from Little Sven. And, you know, when Sven is saying to her, you know, wouldn't a woman be devastated if she found she was older or whatever? Like, he just goes through this list and she's like, yes, yes. She's just so brilliant in that moment, Bill. I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
But you said there's four of them looking down on us.
There's four Golden Girls. Yeah.
Yeah. But only three are dead.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, okay. She might as well be.
Well, you gave me a heart attack because I'm like, did she die? Did Betty White die and I didn't know about it? Because only Bill would like know.
She's still looking down on us, Marco.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Anyways, from greatness, we go to our next celebrant, Bill. William Baldwin followed his older brother, Alec, into show business, making his debut in Oliver Stone's Born on the 4th of July, before finding himself a beloved sex symbol with his roles in Backdraft, Three of Hearts, Sliver, which I saw at the theater, Bill, with a date, and Fair Game. He later gave an acclaimed performance in the Noah Baumbach film, The Squid and the Whale, co-starred on Dirty Sexy Money and Parenthood, and most recently was on MacGyver and the miniseries Too Old to Die Young. He was born on this day in Massapequa, New York, in 1963.
Christine Ebersole is a Broadway star who won Tony Awards for 42nd Street and Grey Gardens, which I saw her perform. A graduate of ADA, she starred on Broadway in Dinner at 8, Oklahoma, Blithe Spirit, which I saw her do as well, Steel Magnolias, and War Paint. On television, she was on one season of Saturday Night Live, the show Royal Pains, and on film, starred in Amadeus, Tootsie, Richie Rich, and The Wolf of Wall Street. Currently, she's on Bob Hart's Abishola and Search Party. She was born on this day in Chicago, Illinois, in 1953.
Okay, so you know that Bob Hart Abishola is one of my favorite television
that, yes.
Series, Bill. How was she? And she is so good in that, Bill. If you watch it for nothing else but to see what happens to her character from the first few episodes to a sort of turning point episode in the series, you just know she's brilliant for what she does and how she still brings the comedic timing that she needs for that role while she's playing someone who has experienced some trauma. I won't say what. She's just so great. Was it Grey Gardens you saw her in?
Both of them that I saw her live in, she was brilliant. I just love her. She's great.
She's also so great.
Voted for Trump. But I do think she's great. Yeah.
Wow. What's going on? Well, I hope
not
our
that
next...
I care. I genuinely don't. When it comes, if they're good, they're good. But you know, it is interesting to note all the same.
Well, I hope our next celebrant did not vote for Trump because
I'm a fan of hers.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Tyne Daly has won 6 Emmy Awards for her television work, 4 of them for her most popular role on the series Cagney and Lacey. She starred in the 1989 Broadway revival of Gypsy and won a Tony Award and is the 2011 American Theater Hall of Fame inductee. She began performing in summer stock with her family in New York, earning her equity card at the age of 15 before studying at Brandeis and AMDA. Brandeis. Yeah. Brandeis? Sorry, I've never heard of that. So clearly I need to study more.
You're the only one.
Oh, my goodness. She followed Cagney with the shows Christy and Judging Amy, which earned her another two Emmys, and in 2018 was cast in Murphy Brown Reboot and was in the films A Bread Factory and The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. She was born on this day in Madison, Wisconsin in 1946, and yet again, another actor who makes films or television better for being in them.
Oh, she's amazing. She was the bartender on the Murphy Brown Reboot. And you know, it wasn't quite the same as it was back in the day, but I wish they hadn't canceled it after only one season.
Oh, yeah. I stood next to her at Al Wax's funeral, like when we were like getting ready to go into the synagogue, and she's very tiny, like she's short. Yeah. And so I think because of that,
and even though she was crying, you bothered her, you bugged her, and you asked her for an autograph, and yeah.
No, I didn't. It just so happened. What was funny, Bill, was I was standing next to her and I turned and I'm like, do I know her? Like, I feel like I know this woman. And then it dawned on me who it was, because I wasn't expecting Tyne Daly to be in Toronto at this funeral. But if you think about it, of course, she worked with him and probably had a great, you know, working relationship with Al Waxman. But it was just, I just wasn't expecting it, right? And I wasn't expecting to be standing beside her. And she was clearly sad. So I did not.
Did you know Al, Marco? Did you know him?
No, I didn't know him.
No, you were there for the food.
No, I kind of knew his wife in a weird sort of way. And I happened to be living next to that synagogue at the time. And so it was kind of, I don't want to say it was open to the public, but I just happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Funerals are open to the public.
Yeah, well, anyways, I was there and so was she.
William Peterson made his debut in the Michael Mann film Thief in 1983, then had a prominent role in To Live and Die in L.A. and the first Hannibal Lecter film, Manhunter. He later appeared in Young Guns 2, Mulholland Falls, The Contender, and The Skulls, then in 2000 landed his most famous role yet on 13 seasons of CSI, for which he has been nominated for a Golden Globe and three Emmys. He was born on this day in Evanston, Illinois in 1953.
Ingenue Ellis graduated from Brown University and the Tisch School of the Arts and had roles in the films Desert Blue and A Map of the World. She made her studio film debut in a key role in the film Men of Honor with Robert De Niro, followed it with Undercover Brother, Ray, and Freedomland. She was on two seasons of Quantico and played a small but key role in the 2018 film If Beale Street Could Talk. Last year, she starred on the Golden Globe-nominated show Lovecraft Country. She was nominated for an Emmy for Avra DuVernay's When They See Us. She was born on this day in San Francisco in 1969.
Christopher Atkins was originally pursuing a career in baseball before an injury inspired him to do modeling instead. He was convinced by a friend to attend the open call auditions for The Blue Lagoon and landed the lead role, receiving a Golden Globe nomination for Best Newcomer and becoming a teen heartthrob in the early 80s, who had further roles in The Pirate Movie, A Night in Heaven, A Season of Dallas, and the film Listen to Me. His popularity waned by the end of the decade, but he continued to act. He has a movie coming out this year, in the meantime beginning a business building luxury pools and developing a patented fishing lure. In 2009, he announced he had struggled in the past with alcoholism and had been sober for 22 years. He was born on this day in Rye, New York in 1961.
So, Bill, recently Amanda and I watched the first 15 minutes of The Blue Lagoon because I was telling her it takes place back in like olden times, right? Mm-hmm. It's not what you expect. And now on our Netflix, we have that sort of category of because you enjoyed The Blue Lagoon.
Right. So it's it's pervy movies involving teenagers. Yeah.
Pretty much. I'm like, why did we watch 15 minutes of this film that we have all these other horrible films that are kind of molesty to go through? Anyways, Anthony Daniels is best known for performing the character of C-3PO in all the Star Wars films, including the 2019 Rise of Skywalker, plus had cameos of his own human form in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. The son of plastic company executive, he was working on BBC Radio and performing at the Young Vic when his agent convinced him to meet with George Lucas for the role, after which his life changed. He is an adjunct professor at Carnegie Mellon University's Entertainment Technology Center and published his autobiography, I Am C-3PO, The Inside Story, in 2019. He was born on this day in Salisbury, England, in 1946.
Titus Burgess has appeared in numerous Broadway musicals and is known for his high tenor voice, a graduate from the University of Georgia's music program who made his Broadway debut with Good Vibrations in 2005. He appeared on episodes of 30 Rock, and Tina Fey was inspired to create the role of Titus Andromedon on the hit series Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, for which he has been nominated for 5 Emmy Awards. In 2015, he appeared in a Miami production of Into the Woods as the Witch, and later appeared in the films Dolomite Is My Name and Set It Up. Currently, he appears on the series Central Park. He was born on this day in Athens, Georgia, in 1979.
I think he's great. So great. Brendan Sexton III is an actor who made his debut in Welcome to the Dollhouse by Todd Solondz, for which he was nominated for an Independent Spirit Award. He followed it with the films Hurricane Streets, Desert Blue, Boys Don't Cry, Black Hawk Down, Empire Records, and Pecker. He owns the independent record label Big Bit of Beauty. He says that his speaking out against the final cut of Black Hawk Down got him blacklisted from Hollywood and is why he no longer gets roles in major films. In 2019, he was on the Netflix series Russian Doll, and he was born on this day in New York City in 1980.
The vicious violence and high body count in the films of Sam Peckinpah changed movies forever, and high-powered action has rarely been done better than in his most popular films, beginning with The Wild Bunch in 1969, The Ballad of Cable Hogue a year later, the masterful investigation of toxic masculinity, Straw Dogs, and the 1972 Steve McQueen film, The Getaway. After a stint in the Army, he attended Fresno State College and received a BA in drama, got his master's at USC, and began as a floor sweeper on The Liberace Show. He moved up to dialogue director on Don Siegel's Riot and Cell Block 11, and kept climbing until his own success in the director's chair, earning an Oscar nomination for the screenplay of The Wild Bunch. Conflicts with the studio over a final cut gave him a bad reputation in the business and kept him from working more than once. While in his personal life, he played as hard as he worked, enjoying his fair share of alcohol and drugs before dying of a heart attack in 1984 at the age of 59. His final film, The Osterman Weekend, was released a year earlier. He was born on this day in Fresno, California, in 1925.
I remember being a kid, and when we were renting VHS tapes, The Osterman Weekend was always one that was like available or not available, and I was always like curious about that film. And then I saw it, and years later, and I was like, oh, that's what all the hubbub was about.
Sometimes it's best not to fulfill certain fantasies, Marco.
It's true. It's true. Gary Lockwood made his debut as a stuntman and a stand-in for Anthony Perkins in the late 50s, playing a small role in Elia Kazan's Splendor in the Grass and appearing in the films The Magic Sword and Warlock. But he's best known for the role he played a decade later as the doomed Dr. Frank Poole in the science fiction masterpiece 2001: A Space Odyssey. He followed it with a lead in Jacques Demy's Model Shop and appeared on episodes of The Young Rebels, Mission Impossible, Manhunter, Ironside, and The $6 Million Man. Later, he was on episodes of Murder, She Wrote and MacGyver, and in 2020 made his first appearance in over a decade as himself in the film Unbelievable. He was born on this day in Van Nuys, California in 1937.
He came to Toronto a few years ago for a screening of 2001, and then they also showed Model Shop, and I went, and he was there, and he did a Q&A after, and it was really great.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you get to ask him a question?
I didn't have any questions for him, but he just made us laugh because he's a really grumpy old man who, even if he has something nice to say, it comes across angrily, and it just made me laugh.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Right down to the car he drove in the movie that pissed him off. He's like, I don't usually drive English cars because I like a car that goes when you turn it on. Like, I was like, wow, just grumpy dad. Anyway.
Nice.
Last but certainly not least, Kitty Wynn made her Broadway debut in The Three Sisters in 1969 and appeared in Hamlet in New York's Shakespeare in the Park, making her film debut in the 1971 film Panic in Needle Park, for which she won Best Actress at the Cannes Film Festival. 2 years later, she gave what is still her best-known role as Sharon in the hit horror film The Exorcist, followed by Peeper, the show Beacon Hill, episodes of Kojak, and the Unfortunate Exorcist 2 sequel. She retired after her appearance on an episode of the show Partners in Crime in 1984 to focus on raising her family. She was the granddaughter of General George C. Marshall, wartime chief of staff in World War II, who had been gifted Winston Churchill's painting A View of Ten Hearer, is how you say it, by Churchill himself. Wynne later sold it at auction for $1.2 million. Her performance as Helen in The Panic in Needle Park is ranked number 76 on Premiere Magazine's 100 Greatest Performances of All Time. She was born on this day in Washington, D.C. in 1943.
Amazing, Bill. Well, thank you so much. Listen, I hope your buns are not sticky because I know that's how you prefer them, Bill.
Oh, well, indeed I do. But Marco, it was a lot of fun getting sticky with you too.
Well, listen, tune in tomorrow for more Born on This Day.
See you then.